Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
And thank you all for tuning in, and welcome back to another episode. This time around, we got Volume 2 of The Life of Riley, a radio sitcom that premiered in 1944 to 1951 on the Blue Network, which later became known as ABC. If you enjoy this episode, please let me know through the comments on Spotify, through my email, social media. All those links can be found in the description. And as always, if you enjoy this podcast, please consider following, reviewing, and rating. The higher the ratings, the easier it is for people to find this podcast and enjoy these great stories. And with all that, please enjoy the show.
Meet is the yardstick of protein foods, because meat measures up to every protein need. The American Meat Institute presents The Life of Riley, a half hour with radio's friendliest family, and starring William Bendix as Riley. Here's a pleasant and good rule for getting the kind of proteins you need. Eat your share of meat, and you're sure of getting not only proteins, but proteins of highest quality, the right kind of proteins. For you see, meat proteins have all 10 of the indispensable substances needed for growth and tissue repair. Meat is called the yardstick of protein foods, because meat measures up to every protein need. And now, The Life of Riley. Well, as we peer into Riley's home life this fine Sunday, the Lord and Master is still in bed. Babs is away on a picnic, and Mom and Junior are out in the kitchen washing the family's best china. It looks as though something unusual is being planned.
Okay, Mom. I dried all the plates. I'm going out.
Not until you dry the cups and saucers. You know we're having company later.
Okay. But I bet I'm the only guy in my gang with dishpan hand.
Take my dear. Help me with these bundles. What
an ordeal this shopping is.
Quiet, Uncle Baxter. Don't let Riley hear you.
Gosh, look at all the stuff. Bologna, olives, herring, frankfurters, liverwurst. Somebody important coming, Mom?
Just some old friends of your father's, Junior. But I don't want him to know about it till they get here. It's a surprise.
Don't worry. I won't squeal. Mmm, boy.
Junior, where are your manners? Stop sampling that bologna. These olives are sublime.
Mother, we now have 5 less olives than we just had.
Stop showing off, Junior. I know you can count.
Uncle Baxter, put the food in the icebox while I take in this breakfast tray to Riley, will you?
Breakfast in bed? Peg, you'll spoil your husband.
Well, he's had a very hard week. Besides, I want to get him in a good mood so I can get him out of the house.
Mom, I'll carry the tray.
No, that's all right, dear. I can manage.
Junior, if I took a few more olives and you didn't say anything, you could take another slice of liverwurst and I wouldn't say anything.
Oh, kind of a non-aggression pact, huh? Okay, Uncle Baxter.
Junior.
say not so, Your Royal Highness. Your breakfast waits without.
What ho! Enter, me good woman!
Behold the royal breakfast, Your Highness. Does Your Majesty deign to dine?
Yea, verily. My Majesty ain't in no mood to quibble. Slip me a fork and I will nibble.
Well said, Your Grace. I will fix a place.
Don't be silly. Put it on the pilly. Oh, gosh, Peg, breakfast in bed. This is really living.
Well, hurry and eat, dear. Then get dressed and take a nice long walk.
Wait a minute. This is my day of rest.
Well, I want to clean up the house, Riley. Methought Your Highness might mount his horse and dash through the forest to the sound of the hound.
No, sir, no. Right after breakfast, I'm planning to dismount this bed, scour for a shower, and then slouch to a couch.
One o'clock. Oh, I do wish your father would fix that clock.
You don't seem like he wants to do anything today, except sleep.
He's been sawing logs on that couch since breakfast.
That man. If I wanted him to stay home, he'd be going out.
Mom, Rasputin says he's hungry.
Well, give him some of his bird seed. Oh, I got to clean that living room.
Mom, we're out of bird seed. You think he would eat liverwurst?
Junior, a canary will not eat liverwurst. Would I eat bird seed?
Well, lately you've been whistling a lot.
Oh. Junior, don't you be so fresh.
Peg, I have a capital idea. Send Riley to get that special bird seed, the kind that they sell only at the pet shop in Hollywood. That'll get him out.
Why, yes. And he'll get back here at about 6, just in time. Now I'll see if I can get him up. Uncle Baxter, listen to him. He's sleeping like a baby.
A baby rhinoceros.
Oh, he looks so happy. I hate to disturb him. Riley? Riley?
Oh, what's the matter?
Riley, it's 1 o'clock. Wake up!
What a dream. I was getting a double rest. I was dreaming that I was sleeping.
Riley, what you need now is a long, brisk walk.
This is my day of rest.
Oh, Pop, Rasputin's awful hungry.
Yes, dear, we're out of bird seed. Riley, why don't you ride to Hollywood and get him some?
I got a better idea. I'll give the canary a nickel. Let him fly to Hollywood and buy what he wants.
Dear, don't you care that the canary's hungry?
I care so much. I stopped off yesterday and got him his bird seed.
Oh, Riley.
Come on, pretty Woody. We'll take you out to the back porch and put on your nose bag.
And after that, dear, why don't you go to a movie, a double feature?
Oh, no, I got other plans. I'm going to knock off a few hours sleep so I won't be tired tonight when I go to bed. Woody, how you like it out here in the sun, eh? Hey, Junior, give him plenty of them black seeds. This is Sunday.
Okay, Pop.
What's that?
Oh, I'll see who it is, Pop. Someone peeking over the fence next door.
Yeah. It's a man who looks like a little boy. No, it's a little boy who looks like a man.
Oh, it must be our new neighbor. What's that on his head, Pop?
A lace dust cap. How do you like that? He must have been on Truth and Consequences. I'll go over and shoot the breeze with this little guy, huh? Hi there.
Good afternoon. My name is Waldo Binney.
Riley's my moniker. I'm very glad to know you, I'm certainly.
My wife's busy in the house. If she comes out, we'll just make believe we don't know each other.
Hey, are you kidding? You mean your wife would get sore if you talked to me?
Not only my wife, but my wife's aunt, Miss Grimshaw. They don't like me to talk to men. They say it makes me insubordinate. Oh, the two of them are forever picking at me.
I guess they've been picking at you a long time. There ain't very much of you left.
Oh, I'm heavier than I look. I'm well over 90 pounds.
Waldo!
Oh, that's my wife.
Waldo!
That's my aunt.
Waldo, a guy your size should refuse to fight on two fronts.
Waldo!
I'm coming, Aunt Gussie.
Oh, fine, how have I been? I'd like to see my wife's relatives yell at me.
Oh, my. I hope she didn't hear that. Quick, Mr. Riley, look over my shoulder. Is anyone at the kitchen window?
Yeah. Looks like a big sheepdog.
That's Aunt Gussie.
She should have her eyebrows plucked.
Waldo! Come in here! I want the kitchen floor scrubbed by the time I'm through shaving!
Waldo, what does your aunt use, a straight razor or a safety?
Electric. She shaves her French poodle every Sunday. She feeds him the best food, and she reads to him and takes him riding in the car.
That dog is living a man's life. Listen, Waldo, you got to be firm with relatives. You got to be boss like me.
I guess you're right, Mr. Riley.
Never give him a chance to get set. Punch first. The best defense is to be offensive.
Mr. Riley, you've given me new courage. Why, I feel like a tiger. You know what I'm going to do?
Mark.
I'm going to sneak out of here and go right down there.
Down where?
To the delicatessen. I've been planning it all week. I'm going to buy myself some butter. They're on a diet. They won't allow butter in the house. But I love it.
Yeah, me too. I loved butter even before there wasn't any.
Mr. Riley, you've given me a new outlook. I'll show them who's boss.
Now you're talking, tiger.
Let's go to the delicatessen.
Waldo!
Maybe I'd better think this over.
Now, look, don't be scared, Pat. You're going to the delicatessen right now. I'm going to convoy you. Waldo, you got to be tough with in-laws or they'd act like outlaws. Like, for example, I like the white meat of the chicken. Last Sunday, when my wife was serving chicken, her Uncle Baxter beat me to the white meat by a split second. But believe me, Waldo, this Sunday, he ain't getting any white meat. I ordered my wife to cook meatballs. Sure, that guy.
Oh, when chicken is served in my house, my wife gets all the white meat and my aunt gets all the dark meat.
What do you get, the feathers?
Oh, no, the skin.
Waldo, there's only one way to teach them. Go out with the boys more. Paint the town red.
You're the only boy I know. Riley, let's paint the town red right now.
Oh, no. I got to be in the mood. I'm feeling too good right now. Oh, look, here's the delicatessen. Let's go in.
Oh, it smells exciting, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I could stay here forever and just sniff and sniff and sniff.
Hiya, Mr. Greenspreckle. Meet my pal, Waldo Binney. He wants butter.
Who don't? I just sold my last piece to your Uncle Baxter.
Oh, he did, huh?
Yeah, to put it on those 3 dozen rolls he got.
Uncle Baxter got 3 dozen rolls?
Where else is he going to put that smoked turkey I sold him? Not between those Frankfurters he bought. Took away 4 bags of food. Came to $6.02. Will you pay now, Riley?
Well, Waldo, it looks like your butter's... He charged all that food to me? $6 worth of delicatessen? What could that leech want with all that stuff?
Oh, Riley, don't you know?
He couldn't be running a black market. He ain't that crooked.
Said it was for some friends coming over to your house.
Well, I didn't invite no friends.
Not your friends, his friends.
Riley, didn't you know that either?
No, but Peg must have known it.
Aha! A conspiracy. Put your foot down, Riley.
I will, on Baxter's neck. So that's why they was trying to get me out of the house. I ain't good enough to be around when Baxter has his friends in.
Show them who's boss. Let's paint the town red.
Having a party on me at my house, and I ain't even invited, huh? Well, I'll show them. I won't go to the party. Come on, Waldo. Now I'm in the mood for anything.
Where are you going to go, Riley?
Me and Waldo here is going out to show his wife's aunt and my wife's uncle they can't shove us around.
Yes, we're revolting.
Yeah, Waldo, and I'm even more revolting than you are.
And now, while Riley and his admiring pal, Waldo, go out to revolt against family oppression, this is Ken Niles with a question. Have you ever seen an assembly line? If you haven't, you've certainly seen pictures of one. Those giant conveyors that carry an unfinished machine from group to group of workmen, with each group adding a vital part until an automobile or truck or fighting airplane moves off the end of the line. Did you ever stop to think that it takes a disassembly line to produce all the kinds of meat you want? At one end of the line, the livestock producer delivers his finished product, fine meat animals. In the plants of the meatpacking industry, these are divided into cuts for your retailer, sausages and variety meats that make fine low-point meals, the bacon for breakfast, and the ham you will want for your Easter Sunday dinner. And not only meat cuts, but hundreds of byproducts, many of them vital to other war industries, are produced by this disassembly line. Most every part of a meat animal is saved and used for its best purpose. Indeed, it has been said that all but the squeal is utilized. This disassembly line is a vital part of the machinery that enables your meat industry to serve as a bridge between the livestock producers and you. It's a strong and well-built bridge over which meat, in whatever form they are needed or wanted, move to every retailer serving civilians and to every theater of war. Now back to the life of Riley. Well, it's a couple of hours since Riley and Waldo left the delicatessen and set out to paint the town red. At the moment, we find them in a park.
Gee, Riley, this is the life.
There's lots going on in this park, too.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Riley.
Where?
Here comes a couple now.
Oh, boy. These are good looking, aren't they?
Yeah, that plump one is sure pretty. Now, make believe we don't see them until they get right up to us, huh?
Yeah.
Ready?
Yeah.
Now. Here, pitchy. Oh, Waldo, you threw the popcorn too soon. You gotta be careful with pigeons.
Riley, this is too tame.
Huh?
Let's go and get us another drink.
Ah, no more drinks. You've already had 7 malted. You'll curdle.
Gee, I wish I'd brought some money with me.
Well, I got some, but it's really Peg's house money. Hey, Waldo, what's that you're standing under?
Where? Oh, it's an envelope. It's open.
What's inside?
Gee, 2 tickets to a theater. Look what it says on them. Men, do you want to dominate? Do you want to learn the secret power over others?
That's for you, Waldo.
And look what else it says. Free.
Well, so far, it's a great show. Okay, Waldo, let's go.
Men, don't block the sidewalk. Step inside and hear the great Professor Geeko tell you how to dominate. Hurry. Step right in. Step right along. Hurry.
Dad, wait a minute. Quit dragging me, bud. Take your hands off my lapel.
Oh, excuse me, mister. My humble apologies.
Why, Riley, you haven't even gone in yet, and already you're dominating.
I guess I'm a born domino. Come on.
Gee, dark in here. Coming in off the street that way.
Well, I can see all right. Waldo, you know, you should eat more carrots.
Oh, yeah. Let's sit down on this bench, huh? Oh, Riley, the lecture's going to begin.
Yeah, there's a light on the stage. I can see a man in it.
Yeah, I see him, too. Oh, what a magnificent head of hair. And just look at his wonderful beard.
Yeah, from here he looks as if he's peeking out of a haystack.
Say, I'd like to take some notes. Have you got a piece of paper?
Yeah, I got a notebook in my wallet. I'll give it to you.
Men, your attention, please. I hold in my hand a little booklet. Observe the price plainly marked on the cover. $1.
Waldo. Waldo, it's gone. My wallet.
Shh. But don't let that mislead you. For today and today only, I offer this book absolutely free.
My wallet's gone with Peg's house money in it. $18.
I repeat, absolutely free to anyone who can answer a few simple questions.
I got a question. Where's my wife's house money? I've been robbed.
Excuse me, gentlemen. I see we have a hoodlum in our midst.
Who are you calling a hoodlum? Somebody in this cook joint is a crook.
How dare anyone point a finger at the great Geeko?
How dare anyone point five fingers into my pocket?
Come up on this stage.
You get down, well.
Come up on this stage.
Watch out, Riley. He's dominating you.
Go on. He can't dominate me. I'm staying right here.
I command you to come up here.
Riley, he is dominating you. You're almost on the stage.
I am? Well, I'm dominating him to make me come up on the stage.
Ah, here you are. Too weak to resist my power. Gentlemen, observe this money-mad wretch babbling of his imaginary funds.
Give me my $18.
My pathetic friend, you win. I will give you $18 from my own pocket.
You see, Waldo, I dominated him.
If you answer one simple question from the Geeko quiz book. But if you fail to answer, then you buy the book for $1.
Don't do it, Riley.
Ah, my brain's hitting on all three. I'll try the question.
Very well, here we go. What do you call the yolk of an egg?
That's an easy... would you mind repeating the question?
What do you call the yolk of an egg?
The yolk of an egg is called the albumin.
Wrong. The white of an egg is albumin. The yolk of an egg is called the yolk. Well, here's the book, sir. That'll be $1.
Wait a minute. You tricked me, and that beard don't fool me neither. You're the same guy that was outside.
Yeah, no.
You grabbed my lapel. You picked my pocket.
This concludes my lecture for today, gentlemen.
It does not. The lecture is concluded when I get my wallet.
Please take your hands off my beard.
You come across with my wife's house money or I'll knock you loose from it.
Get out of my way, wife.
Give me back that money. Hey,
get out of the cop.
Waldo, let's scram out of here.
What a thrilling experience. Yeah. That cop swinging that club reminded me of my Aunt Gussie. Oh, it's lucky we got away.
Yeah. Gee, I got to get 18 bucks before I go home.
Oh, don't worry. You're boss in your house.
Oh, I know, but I don't like to say I was sap enough to get my pocket picked. Hey, look across the street.
Yeah?
That's my club over there, the BPLA.
The BPLA? What does that stand for?
The Brooklyn Patriots of Los Angeles. It's a social club of guys who used to live in Brooklyn. Swell fellas. Come on.
Will they lend you $18?
Will they? I used to be president. Look, see here on the door? That's the club's coat of arms.
Oh, coat of arms, huh? What does that represent? The man with the pop bottle in his hand.
That's the spirit of Ebbets Field.
And the man lying on the ground.
That's the umpire. Underneath there's our motto, see, fair play. Come on, come upstairs, Waldo, and watch him give me a royal welcome.
Yeah. Say, guys, ain't it time we went to Riley's birthday party?
Yeah, I think we better blow. Come on.
Hey,
what's the matter, Tom?
Riley's coming up the stairs with a friend.
Huh? Hey, he can't come in here now. His party's supposed to be a surprise. If he sticks around, we can't get over
now,
there.
Now, listen. Look, we'll just give him a quick brush off, see? You know, the cold eye.
Yeah.
And then when he squams, we'll run quick ahead of him, and we'll be at the party face. You know, a rib.
Good idea.
Okay. Sure. Oh, watch it.
Oh,
Okay, Waldo. Here's the greatest bunch of fellas in the world. Hiya, fellas. Look who's here. The kid himself. Guess what?
I'm broke.
So you're broke?
Yeah, so what?
So this ain't a loan society.
Aha, great bunch of kidders. Boys, I want you to meet my pal here, Waldo Binney.
Personally, I like Jack Binney.
Maybe the shrimp's broke, too.
Say, perhaps these aren't the same men you knew, eh, Riley?
Riley. Let me see now. I used to know that name. Say, boys, ain't Riley the guy that's so far back in his dues?
Yeah, he's the jerk.
What do you mean, dues? I may be missed a month. I'll pay now. I mean tomorrow. I got my pocket picked.
Hey, I know this character now. Alibi Riley, always making a touch.
Listen, you, many's the time you come to me and... Oh, you're kidding. They're kidding, Waldo. Come on, Waldo, we'll shoot a game of pool. Hey, you want to make a third, Harry? I'll spot you 10.
I only play with friends.
Well, since when ain't we friends? Hey, wait a minute. What goes here?
Harry, ain't it time some people was home?
Oh, yeah? Don't tell me what to do. I'll go home when I get ready. Come on, Waldo, I'm ready. Just goes to show you, you can't trust them Flatbush guys. I'm resigning. I'm turning in my Dorocha button. Let's go, Waldo.
What a day. And it all started out so swell, too. Breakfast in bed. Now look what happens. I lose all my friends.
Oh, don't be discouraged. You made a new friend today. I'll give you the shirt off my back.
Oh, thanks, Waldo, but I couldn't wear a size 13.
Well, here's your house, Riley.
Oh, yeah.
Well, say, why don't you go in and join the party?
I'm no hypocrite. I may pay for Baxter's food, but I won't eat it. Hey, wait a minute. Why should I take all this from him? I got half of my mind to tell him off. Yeah, I will. I'll show him who's boss in my house. Now, look, Baxter. Hey, look at all them guys from the club.
Oh, Riley, you almost missed your own party. Don't you ever remember what day this is? It's your birthday.
What day is it?
Hey, Waldo, come on. It's my birthday. Come on in and paint my house red.
My, you are popular after all.
Well, sure, that's what I've been telling you. I'm a big guy around my own house. Come on, Waldo, meet my wife. Meet my Uncle Baxter. Meet all the gang. And look, Waldo, don't let them kid you. I'm not surprised about this party. Why, I knew it all the time. For I'm a jolly good fellow that nobody can deny.
The Rileys will be back in just a moment. Easter time is ham time, yes, even in wartime, because, as you now know, ration points on whole or half-smoked hams are 3 points per pound, and ready-to-eat half or whole hams were reduced today to 4 points per pound, which means just a little saving up of points and looking ahead, you can have that good baked ham for the Easter Sunday feast. So plan those points and tell your retail meat man you'll be wanting that whole or half ham by Saturday. Then, next Sunday, when you carve through that rich, crisp, spicy crust of brown sugar and mustard to the tender, rosy meat, you'll say that Easter's really Easter with ham on the table. And to the woman who's preparing the ham, the American Meat Institute makes this suggestion. Whether it's a whole or half ham or a thick, juicy, baked slice, give it the traditional trimmings of cloves and a beautiful brown glaze. For variety, you might baste it with cider, orange or cherry juice, or with honey. So here's to your Easter ham. And here's to the high nutritional value that ham, and all meat for that matter, provides for you. First and foremost, meat gives you protein. Complete, highest quality protein. The right kind of protein. Yes, meat is the yardstick of protein foods because meat measures up to every protein need. All statements regarding the nutritional value of meat made on this program are accepted by the Council on Foods and Nutrition of the American Medical Association.
Quiet, everybody. Quiet. My dear nephew, the evening would not be complete unless I read this little poem which I wrote commemorating this occasion.
A poem for me? Oh, you shouldn't have done it, Uncle Baxter.
Well, here's the way it goes. To my dear nephew, you give me lots of happiness. You give me many thrills. You give me joy and gladness.
But, Baxter, you just give me bills.
Oh, that's good on you, Baxter. You got the
The Life of Riley, starring William Bendix and sponsored by the American Meat Institute, will be back next week at this same time. Mr. Bendix appears in this program by arrangement with Hal Roach. The Life of Riley was directed by Don Bernard, with music by Lou Kozloff, and came to you from Hollywood. This is Ken Niles saying, see you next week. This is the Blue Network.
This is WENR at your service, Chicago 54.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Is the yardstick of protein foods because meat measures up to every protein need. The American Meat Institute presents The Life of Riley, a half hour with radio's friendliest family, and starring William Bendix as Riley. You've heard it said that meat has the right kind of proteins. Now, what does this mean? Well, simply this. Meat contains all 10 of the essential protein substances which the body must have for growth and tissue repair, and all the other purposes for which the body needs protein. Meat is called the yardstick of protein foods because meat measures up to every protein need. And now, The Life of Riley. Well, as we look in on the doings in the household of war worker Riley, it is early morning. And if we may be permitted to turn the calendar back, it is 2 days before Easter Sunday. Riley and Peg, his ever-loving, ever-patient spouse, are having breakfast in the kitchen.
Wow! 6 after 7 now. If I don't hurry, I'll miss the 10:30 bus.
You mean 7:30 bus?
About 7:30 to us, but the driver just came to California last week from Brooklyn and... he insists on using Eastern time.
Hey, Pop, huh? I've been looking over these plans you made for my rabbit hutch.
Neat, huh?
Yeah, but, Pop, this is an awful small hutch.
Well, it's for only one rabbit. This is strictly a bachelor apartment.
Oh, Pop, can I have 2 rabbits? Just 2?
Junior, there is no such thing as just 2 rabbits.
I'm going in the yard and build part of it before school. I want to have it ready by Sunday.
Riley, we'll have an early dinner this evening. Don't forget, we have to do a little Easter shopping.
You know something, Peg? I don't think this Easter we ought to spend money on clothes we don't need. If people go around throwing their dough away on stuff they don't need, then the first thing you know, everybody in this country will be inflated.
No, I guess you're right, dear.
But don't forget, Dumplin', you're getting a new hat.
Oh, no, Riley, I could make the old one do.
Ah, no, you can't. Them cherries on it are getting pretty worn out. The pits are beginning to show.
Well, don't worry. I'm taking the cherries off and putting on some flowers.
Ah, use flowers with short stems. Last night in the movie, I sat behind a lady with a hat that looked like a victory garden. The only thing missing was a gopher.
Well, good morning, my dear Riley. Good morning, my dear Margaret.
Uncle Baxter, up at 7 o'clock? Pinch me, Peg. I must be asleep.
No, you're awake, Riley. It is Uncle Baxter.
Then pinch him. He must be asleep.
No, I assure you, my dear nephew, I'm fully awake. I've got a busy day ahead of me. Since Easter Sunday is almost upon us, I must procure my regalia. Top hat, cutaway, striped trousers, ascot.
Riley, hurry or you'll be late.
Oh, I got plenty of time.
Naturally, these clothes cost a bit of money. Riley...
You're right, Mom. I'm late. I gotta be going.
No, wait, Riley. If I can make the sacrifice of getting up at this ungodly hour, the least you can do is to listen to me. I have a plan.
Okay, I'm listening with an open mind and a closed pocket.
What's it all about, Uncle Baxter?
Well, the Inglewood Tribune is having a roving photographer on the boulevard on Sunday. He will snap the best-dressed man in the Easter parade, who will receive a prize of $200. I will be that man.
Fat chance. With a million other guys walking down the boulevard at the same time.
Oh, it's inevitable that I win, because with my new outfit, I will naturally cut the most striking figure. Besides, I shall bring pressure to bear on this photographer. I'll cut him in for 10% of my winnings.
Well, it would be nice if you could win $200.
Oh, that's only the beginning. Having been selected best-dressed man, I will be on the threshold of a lucrative career, posing for advertising. In every magazine, you'll see my photograph.
Yeah, and underneath it'll say, "This old man didn't eat vitamins as a boy."
Riley, by investing a paltry sum, you'll be able to see me staring up at you from the pages of every magazine. You'll see Turnbull in morning clothes, Turnbull in afternoon clothes, Turnbull in evening clothes.
Uncle Baxter, I worked too hard for my dough. And I ain't spending any of it to make you a pin-up boy.
Very well. If you want to wreck my entire career, so be it.
Oh, come on, Uncle Baxter. Eat some breakfast.
No food, please. I shall go to my room. But before I go, I want to say one thing. I am hurt.
Oh. Riley, he must be hurt. He refused breakfast, and he loves breakfast.
Ah, don't worry, Dumplin'. Before I'm gone 5 minutes, he'll surrender. And the white flag he'll wave will be a napkin.
Mom, is dinner ready yet?
Yes, Junior, but your father's not home yet.
Mother, to tell the truth, I feel kind of sorry about Uncle Baxter.
Well, Babs, I'm ashamed of him. He's acting like a spoiled child. Oh, your father's coming now. Now, don't say anything or he'll get excited and then the first...
Hiya, Dumplin. Hiya, kids.
Oh, hi,
Hello,
Pop.
Daddy.
Hey, Peg, where is he? Inglewood's fashion plate.
Oh, Uncle Baxter's sulking in his room, Pop.
He is, huh?
He hasn't come out since 7 this morning.
He didn't even come out to listen to the racing results on the radio.
He didn't? He must be dead. Well, I got a little surprise for him that'll bring him back to life.
Riley, don't tell me you got him a new Easter outfit. Oh, that was sweet of you.
Well, I got to thinking what a lucky guy I am. I got a good job. I got a pretty nice wife.
Oh.
Couple of fair kids.
Damn.
Just fair. Swell house. Poor old Uncle Baxter with nothing to think about except getting dressed up for Easter.
Oh, it was a very generous thought, dear.
And then, you know, if he should win that $200 prize, and if he used it to buy a train ticket back east, we'd be rid of him.
Oh.
I figure it don't pay to be too selfish.
Uncle Baxter, come on out. Dad has some news for you.
Yes, if Mr. Hattie Carnegie will poke his head out, he will learn something.
Come on out, Uncle Baxter. Dinner's waiting.
Yeah. And if he don't shovel in some grub soon, that cutaway coat I got him won't fit.
Did someone call? I thought I heard voices babbling of cutaway coats. Oh, but you're empty-handed, Riley. Is this a ruse?
Oh, no. On the level, Uncle Baxter. You're getting a complete new outfit to wear Easter. It's on its way now.
Riley, bless you. Bless you, my dear nephew. Bless you.
All right. Stop hugging me.
Riley, my boy, as soon as I win the $200, I will pay you every cent my wardrobe costs you.
Okay, Uncle Baxter. And you can make it in very easy payments because it didn't cost me nothing.
What? Riley, how in the world...
I got it free off of Barney Tate, the classy clothier. He rents out high-class clothes. But I told him the way Uncle Baxter wears clothes, he's a cinch to win the prize. And that's good advertising for Barney's business.
Rented suit, eh? Well, it's better than nothing. Riley, I'll not let you nor good old Barney down.
Well, I'll get it. Hey, Pop, here's the man with the suit.
In here, Barney, right this way.
Well, I'll go see about the food. Come on, Barbara. Uncle Baxter wants to try on his clothes.
Call us when you're dressed.
Okay.
All right, gents. Here's Barney with the body trimmings. Now, who do I embellish?
Barney, I want you to meet Mr. Turnbull.
Charmed, Barney, charmed. Mm.
A little taller than the dummy I got in the store.
Huh?
I said you're a little tall in the height.
Yeah, and he's also a little heavy in the weight. But he sure can wear clothes, Barney. He'll win in a walk.
Oh, yes, of course I shall. Now, may I try on my togs?
Hey, wait a minute. My togs. This is strictly a loan out. Yeah, here's the striped pants.
Oh, splendid. These trousers fit like a glove.
Yes, sir.
Now, slip off your shirt, that's it, and put Richard on.
Richard?
This dickie.
I wouldn't think of wearing a dickie.
Put on the dickie, Uncle Baxter. The vest will cover the rest of the shirt that ain't there. Here, let me help you.
But, Riley, the end of it keeps popping up into my face.
Fine, but I thought you knew how to dress classy. What do you think that string is tied to the dickie for?
Well, sure, Uncle Baxter. Just slip the string down your pants leg and tie it around your ankle. Ain't you never read Esquire?
Now, put on this ascot tie. It's pre-tied in advance.
Look at it. A perfect knot.
The confounded tie won't stay in place.
Oh, Lummox, use the piece of string on it.
Mm. Yeah, Uncle Bax, all you gotta do is tie it to the dickie.
If I have no shirt, just this dickie, what about cuffs?
Here they are. Catch them. Now, be careful of them ruby cufflinks. They set me back 6 bits.
How on earth will I keep these cuffs on?
Ain't you never dressed formal? There's a string attached to each cuff. Just tie it to the suspenders.
Certainly. You just tie it to the Hey, Barney.
Yeah?
There's no suspenders.
What do you think those strings are dangling from the pants?
That's it. Oh, gee, Uncle Baxter. With all them strings on you, you look like a bass fiddle.
Yep, and here's your coat. Come on, try it on.
Thank you.
There. Yeah, Riley, you was right. This guy's crawling with class.
Didn't I tell you? Baxter, if I didn't know it was you, I'd think you was an undertaker. You look great.
Thank you, Riley. Thank you.
Well, here's the finishing touches. Gloves, cane, top hat.
There you are, Baxter. You're all dressed from tip to toe.
Well, I dare say I cut a dashing figure.
Yep.
Wait a minute. Well, there's one more thing.
Yeah, what's that?
The sign.
Sign? What sign?
This oilcloth sign which goes on your back. Wait, I'll unroll it. See? Classy, huh? Read it.
Barney style, sure on nifty. Look like this for $13.50.
Hey, concise, ain't it?
Yeah.
Turn around while I pin it on your back.
This is preposterous. Riley, I never thought you'd sink so low as to rent out your poor old uncle's back as a billboard.
Now, wait a minute, Baxter. I didn't know about the signs. Barney, you never said nothing about no sign.
You said if I loaned this suit, I'd get advertising, didn't you? To me, that sign is advertising. And no leaning against walls, Turnbull. Keep walking, and not round-shouldered, neither. What I want is visibility.
Baxter Turnbull a sandwich man for a second-hand store. Never!
Just for that crack, I'm blackballing you permanent in the outdoor advertising profession.
Barney, can't we talk this over?
Now, come on, give me back the garment.
As fast as I can. Here, sir, and here, and here.
Gee, I'm sorry, Uncle Baxter.
Riley, how could you humiliate me this way?
Well, I didn't know he wanted to hang a sign on your spine.
Retain those cuffs.
Here, Mr. West, take your shabby rags and go.
Yeah, beat it, Barney. Nobody's going to open up a second front on my uncle's back.
Oh, no? Well, I'm going, sports. I'm going, and hereinafter, don't contact me on my garments. I'm much too busy to have a...
What happened, Barney?
I tripped on one of the strings.
Well, Riley, this was a grim jest, I must say.
I told you I didn't know about the sign. Why don't you get your own Easter clothes? Get a job, earn some dough, rent an outfit.
Ridiculous. I can't find employment in one day. Haven't I been looking for 32 years?
I could get you a job in 10 minutes, I bet you.
I accept the wager. Find me a job and I will take it.
Okay, wise guy.
But if you fail, Riley, it must be understood that you will buy me an Easter outfit.
It's a bet. In 10 minutes, I'll either make you a workhorse or I'll make you a clothes horse.
While Riley sets out to achieve the impossible, namely getting a job for Uncle Baxter, this is Ken Niles. I wonder how many millions of American families are having their traditional Easter dinner of baked ham today. You know, it's a grand and glorious feeling to be able to serve this fine Easter meat and know that it only costs 3 ration points per pound. It's good to be able to keep up those happy traditions of Easter. Traditions like these are the bridge between the present day and the past, between war times and peace. There's another bridge that I'd like to talk about, one that's carrying an extra load these days. In fact, during the first quarter of 1944, the extra load carried by this bridge was nearly double the average for the first quarter in the 5 years prior to 1940. This bridge is your meat industry. You, our armed services and friendly allies, are at one end of it. Each with an appetite for meat and a need for the right kind of proteins that meat supplies so generously. At the other end of the bridge are millions of farmers and ranchers, livestock men who raise and fatten fine meat animals. Connecting those meat producers and you meat eaters is your meat industry, the meat packers who change meat animals into pork and beef, lamb and veal, ham, bacon and sausage. And your retail meat man, who cuts them up into chops and roasts, slices and stews. In peace or war, no matter how heavy the demand, the bridge that your meat industry represents does its job, meeting the need of both our fighting forces and our civilians in the home. And now back to the life of Riley. It's a few minutes later, and Riley is on the phone trying to get Uncle Baxter that job, or else Riley loses his bet.
Well, Riley, you've made 7 calls and no job for me yet.
But I almost got you a job at the delicatessen. Only Mr. Greensprickle said he wouldn't hire any clerk. He'd have to weigh every time he wanted to take inventory.
Time is fleeting, Riley. Why not admit you've lost? You owe me my Easter tongue.
I ain't licked yet. There must be somebody in town who would hire you. Somebody who don't know you.
Pardon my coming right in, Mr. Riley, but I got too much work and no time to do it in.
Well, Sam Graham, the cleaning man.
Yeah.
Is that my wife's dress she had cleaned?
Yeah, take a look at me. Established 22 years, same location, and I got to do all of my own delivering. I can't get no help.
You hear that, Baxter?
Surely, Riley, you don't think that
Listen, Sam.
Yeah?
You got a lot of stuff to deliver for Easter and you need help, right?
Yeah.
You gotta have help.
Yeah.
In fact, you're desperate for some help.
Yeah.
How about hiring Uncle Baxter?
No, sure not.
Now, wait a minute, Sam.
Riley, this is nonsense. I, a delivery boy?
You said if I got you a job, you had to take it. Now, look, Sam, don't be hasty. You need help bad.
Well, I know, but
Uncle Baxter is a working fool. Look at him. Look at his arms. Like buggy whips, ain't they? I mean, they're long, see? Why, with arms that long, he could deliver 10 coat hangers full all at once.
Yeah, but how about his legs? Can they take it?
Legs? Why, just come over here and feel the muscles in his legs. Wait a minute now. There's got to be muscles here someplace.
Riley, don't pull up my trouser leg. I refuse to be haggled over. Well, Mr. Riley, I'll tell you, he ain't no bargain, but like you say, I'm up against it, so... Okay, so I'll take him on for one day till Easter.
That's the stuff, Sam.
This is high bindery.
Uncle Baxter, leave me congratulate you. For one day at least, you have retired from unemployment.
Good morning, Riley, and happy Easter.
Happy Easter, Dumplin'.
Did you have a hard night at the plant, dear?
Yeah, but by giving up my sleep last night, I get all today off to do whatever I want to do.
You deserve a day off. What are you going to do?
Sleep.
Well, take a bath first and eat some breakfast.
No, I'll just take a nap on the couch here to get up enough strength to go to bed.
Oh, you don't want to lie down in those dirty old work clothes?
Okay, then just stand me up in a corner someplace. Oh, boy, I'm so tired, nothing could keep me awake.
Did you hear about Uncle Baxter?
Oh. Well, what's he done now?
Well, it looks as if he made good delivering for Sam.
Did he make good enough to rent a suit for the Easter parade?
He must have. He's in his room getting all togged out in something. He's sure he's going to win that prize.
Well, children, how do you like my Easter ensemble?
Oh, it's lovely, Uncle Baxter. That cutaway coat and those striped trousers.
Riley, how do you like this yellow vest?
Oh, fine. It's the first time I ever seen a double-breasted sunset. Well, I gotta catch a little shut-eye on the couch.
Well, I'm off to give the populace a sartorial thrill.
Go out and win, Uncle Baxter.
A biento, Riley. A biento, babe.
Good luck, Uncle Baxter.
Good luck.
Oh, goodness. He's asleep already.
Hey, Mr. Riley. Mr. Riley, wake up, Mr. Riley. It's Sam Graham, the cleaning man.
I'm pleased to meet you. Come back next week.
Mr. Riley, I gotta see you. Mr. Riley!
Riley? Oh, I think he's here someplace. Huh? Riley? That's me.
Mr. Riley, this morning I wake up, my doorbell starts ringing. A client. He wants his cutaway coat. Then my doorbell starts ringing again, another client. He wants his striped pants.
Somewhere lately I seen striped pants in a cutaway.
Yeah, then my doorbell rings again, another client. Where is his yellow vest?
A yellow vest?
Yeah.
It's all coming back to me now. You mean Baxter delivered them clothes to himself?
Mr. Riley, if them clothes are lost...
Now, wait a minute, Sam. They ain't lost because I know just where they are.
Where?
On Uncle Baxter.
Riley, I'm holding you responsible. You made me hire him.
Sam, you got a car out there?
Yeah, my delivery truck.
Then deliver me down to the boulevard. I'll get them clothes back for you, Sam. And when I get through, Uncle Baxter will finish the Easter parade in his union suit.
Stunning, Baxter. Simply stunning. In your case, the man makes the clothes.
My, yes, my dear Matilda. When one has a large wardrobe like mine, I feel... By the way, you haven't seen one of those camera johnnies about, have you? I so despise publicity.
No, I haven't. Oh, Baxter, dear, are you busy Tuesday? I'm giving a tea to Lady Patricia Flick.
A tea? How jolly. I shall be delighted to nibble at a scone with you.
Oh, dear me. There are some perfectly awful-looking men coming behind us. In a delivery van.
Ignore them, shall we?
I think they're following us.
The idea. In a dry cleaner's van.
What? A dry cleaner? Let's walk a little faster, shall we?
Hey, wait a minute.
Baxter, is that person in those greasy overalls addressing us?
Let's hurry on.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute, Mr. Yellow Vest. I would like to have a few words with you alone.
Run along, my poor fellow. I'll see you later.
You'll see me now. If you don't, my uncle's gonna be in very big trouble.
Get the coat! Get the coat!
Well, is that strange man in the truck your uncle?
Oh, no, madame. He's after my uncle, on account of my uncle borrows clothes that people don't want to lend him.
I'm sure if you give your uncle a chance, he'll return the clothes shortly. Come along, Matilda.
Get the vest! Get the vest!
Okay, Uncle Baxter, you can't take a hint, so take off them clothes.
Uncle Baxter? Mercy, are you the one they mean?
Certainly not.
Don't forget the pants! Don't forget the pants!
Take them off, Baxter.
Riley, please, I beseech you, in the street. Give
Riley?
Me a little time.
Riley? Oh, you do know him. Well, never mind Tuesday's tea, Mr. Turnbull. You'd feel out of place. The guests are wearing their own clothes.
Hey, Riley, get him into the truck. Don't grab the lapels.
Riley, how could you disgrace me like this?
Come on, Baxter, or do I have to drag you? Get his feet, sir.
Oh, wait, stop. Here comes the cameraman. I can still win the prize. Riley, take your hands off me.
Okay, but just for the picture.
Oh, boy, this is the picture of the day. Hold it, gents.
I'm ready.
Smile, Baxter. He got it.
I sure did, mister. And if you want to see it, buy the next edition of the Inglewood Tribune.
This is the corner, Pop. A truck drives by here every night and drops off bundles of papers.
Excellent. I'll get the first copy.
No, I'll get the first copy. It's my nickel.
But it's my picture. I won the contest.
Here comes the trick now.
Yes, and I could certainly use that $200 prize.
Get back, Mom. They heave them out without stopping.
Here's the bundle.
And there's my picture right on the front page.
Wait a minute. I'll cut the screen. Yes, sir. There's your picture, all right.
And here's the story beside it.
Hey, wait a minute. Look. I'm in the picture, too.
Yes, you might have ruined everything, Riley. As it is, you mar the effect of my appearance, standing there in front of me in your shabby work clothes.
Read what the story says, Riley.
It says, picture at left shows this Easter's best-dressed man. The winner of the Tribune's $200 prize is the man in overalls. If this war worker will call at the Tribune office, he will receive his check. Peg, you read it. I'm up getting dizzy.
Hot ziggity!
Let's see. In a country at war, every minute on the job counts. And because this citizen's work-stained garb shows that he had been at his job yesterday, instead of strutting like a peacock and wearing out valuable shoe leather, the judges have decided that he is their unanimous choice for this year's best-dressed man. Oh, Riley, isn't it wonderful?
Oh, yeah, it's great. I can see it all now. A whole new career. My picture in all the magazines. Riley in morning overalls. Riley in afternoon overalls. Riley in evening overalls. Riley in beach overalls.
Well, don't go away, folks. The Rileys will be back in just a moment. Here is a message regarding the food on your table that the American Meat Institute is glad to bring you at the request of our government. Your today's dinner was made possible by the skill and labor of men and women on American farms. Much of this is year-round labor, feeding and caring for meat animals, tending dairy herds, keeping the land in shape for the growing season. But as the sun creeps steadily farther north and the days warm, the routine of planting, growing, and harvesting begins again throughout the land. The 30 million men, women, and children regularly living and working on farms, no matter how great their devotion to their country and their calling, can't do the job alone. 4 million extra workers, 500,000 more than last year,
will be needed to lend them extra hands at some time or other in this 1944 growing season. So when the call comes from your county extension agent for high school boys and girls to enroll as Victory Farm volunteers, for women who will train and enroll as members of the Woman's Land Army, or when a friend or relative on a farm asks your help for a week or for the summer, be sure that your community and you are ready to do your share in helping to meet the nation's wartime food goals. Feed for farm animals, food for your table, food for our fighters depend on this year's crops. All statements regarding the nutritional value of meats made on this program are accepted by the Council on Foods and Nutrition of the American Medical Association.
$200 for not changing my clothes. Well, I'll be a monkey's uncle.
Correction, Riley. It seems you're a monkey's nephew. Well, the old order changes. Oh, well. Riley, let me be the first to congratulate you. Your greasy hand, sir.
Uncle Baxter, that spoke like a man. Shake. And any time you want to dress up in real style after this, just look me up.
You invite me to borrow your clothes?
Sure. I always got an extra pair of them overalls handy. And Uncle Baxter, everybody looks swell in overalls.
The Life of Riley, starring William Bendix and sponsored by the American Meat Institute, will be back next week at this same time. William Bendix appears on this program by arrangement with Hal Roach. The Life of Riley was directed by Don Bernard with music by Lou Kozloff and came to you from Hollywood. This is Ken Niles saying, see you next week. This is the Blue Network. This is WENR at your service, Chicago 54.
And thank you again for listening. And please don't forget to follow, review, and rate.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.